Okay, we want to start in just 1 minute with the sugya that we began with on Thursday. Just two comments very quickly, just to be clear. First, Asher brought to my attention regarding the language of the Rav Yonason HaKohen Milo Neil, that the you have the language there that you mentioned to me? That the issue in, it's just interesting and it works nicely that for the Rimi Lonil, the Shmira that we're talking about is not so much the Shmira of the Eish, right? But the Shmira of the potential Nezek. Right, you have it? Yeah. Which again is interesting and works in very nicely, but typically we're speaking not about, you know, if we're talking about the shomer of the, like that, you know, the paradigm of a shomer of a shore or the hema, who's obligated to make sure that, you know, is the shomer of the animal to make sure that he is not mazik. But here the chi of shmira, once there is eish that is associated with him, is not on the reigning in. Of course it is. I mean, I'm talking about conceptually. It's not reigning in of the eish so much as it is the protection of the potential dvarim hanizokim. So that again, that's very, I think, works nicely with some of the things that we were saying. The other point, just very quickly to make clearer, just in case there's any a misconception. So again, the Isaac brought to our attention the Aruch HaShulchan. Did you get a chance to look at it to see how he integrates that or does or doesn't with the Shach?
No.
Okay, so we'll try. I didn't either, but I'll try to look at it also. Maybe we'll both try to look at it and just see. I'm just curious because it's very, it's not the same, but it's very similar. But he brought to our attention the language that the Aruch HaShulchan is mechalek between again the Vashel Tavshilo and Mab. It actually is mechalek between those two cases, and I just wanted to make clear that while the Rimi Lonil, you know, keeps speaking that language all the time, that, you know, the purpose of the Eish or the Eish is, you know, L'shem Tavshilo, it's not clear to me that you know, that he, that that's tonight. He never actually says that if it's not L'shem Tavshilo but it's L'shem, you know, Eish, that that would, you know, be an automatic kind of, you know, super Eish or Chitza, you know, etc. So I think it's possible that for the Rimi Lonil, again, it's a halacha, it's a din, that whenever you have Eish, al pi din, we look at it not as an act of, you know, destruction, threatening, you know, everything in sight, but that, you know, al pi din, we look at it, you know, as, you know, as again, things that obviously does threaten things, and that we even reinforced that a second ago with the Lashon that the Shmira is on the Gadish, but the idea is that Al Pidin, it's a you know, it's a Davar Shashayach, you know, Litavshil, etc. So again, there's no evidence in the Rimi Lonil itself, not in this Parish on Mishnah, not earlier on Chaf Beis Chaf Gimel, and not again, he repeats this like, I don't know, 7 to 10 times, this formulation. It's very, very striking that he's such a strong refrain, that in the Chasa Rachmana, but I think it's possible that that's a halacha, not so much an actual nafkamina. So that's the second thing I wanted to mention. I did already mention that the Menachas Chinuch points out that you know, the Rambam is curious, you know, given his psak, you know, clear psak, like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, why he has to speak about Mashiel, and the truth is even why he needs to, once, the truth is once we understand Ram Shita, even why he has to repeat the din of Madlik Esavira, since for the Rambam everything is kind of flipped in light of what we have been explaining, you know, from the very beginning, from Perikadalit Halacha Aleph, from the beginning to the end, you know, the Rambam just has a different perspective of the whole topic. So I think of that, I don't want to spend time on that right now, but that is a very intriguing question. I already discussed the Sma and the Minchas Chinuch solution for the Mashil problem more particularly, and I was contrasting it with Ramban, but I think it's very, very important. But, you know, you should look further into that, into these questions, obviously. But one thing I did want to mention also is that I'll see if I can find it right away, that the when we're talking about the difference between Madlik B'tol Shilo and Madlik B'tol Shel Chavero, and, you know, why, number one, is that a real chiluk or is that just skitza of that mamon? And is it a real chiluk or, you know, is that limited to the din of Takanas Hanigzal? Let's say the Ramban's reading in the Yerushalmi. But even if it is a bit real chiluk, the majority of Rishonim think that it is, so, you know, what is it based on? And is it din of Rishus, or is it the distance, or is it the, you know, the question of Kavana, like the Ramban inserts, etc. So one of the things that I mentioned at the time is that one might have said that the issue isn't, you know, Madlik B'toch Shalom, which is Behater, and Madlik B'toch, you know, Shel Chavero, you know, in the proximity of the actual Heftza Shel Nezek, you know, but what about a case where you're Madlik, you know, B'tel Shalom, then it goes through, you know, Shel, some neutral party, you know, but doesn't damage there, and then it goes, you know, in a third venue. So, or you're just Madlik B'toch Shimon, but the damage, you know, takes place in the Rishus of Levi. What would happen in that case? Because maybe it's just the process of it. There's anything that's, just like we were suggesting for some Rishonim, that Gadish, even if it isn't, you know, Makom Gachaloso, that there's some Yichos to that, or again, Tok Shaloh. So if it's the distance or the phases, then that would be an interesting issue, an interesting question. So the just interesting to note that the Minchas Chinuch, right in the beginning, I believe, in Os Aleph, is talking about the, you know, the view of the Rosh. So V'dafka Shaloh Hircha, we still have to go back and quickly do that so get to, but V'dafka Shaloh Hircha Karoi, Avalim Hircha Kashior, right, Shaloh Tuchel Adleika Lavor, Mekomakom Avra, V'hizika Potter. Right, this is what happens if you know, when he, you know, when he ignites the fire initially. So the expectation again would be that it wouldn't damage anything else because it has kashiur. But so if that isn't what happened, over of Zika, so then it's potter. Makam bidei shemayim. Bedasa rosh bavakama vatur. Right, the shir harchaka dafkam hidlik betok shalom. Kibud the brishus hidlik. Okay, that makes sense. And then he adds, and this is the point I just wanted to add now, right, so this is the exactly kind of one of the cases that we're looking at. You know, let's say he, you know, he makes a fire in Shimon's field, you know, and then, you know, it spreads to Levi's field, right? Right, or all three. So that's exactly, again, he assumes this is a davar pashut, but in fact, certainly one could be mechalik. And there are other things to talk about. The Rambam omits the din of dinar kesef and dinar zahav. There are a few other issues. There's a debate among the poskim in the case of she'ela in dinar kesef and then dinar zahav, you know, whether there has to be some sort of a mistake or not, or the parallel, you know, case where he gives him, you know, rishos to be magbish, let's say, he gives him Mishusri Magdish Saorim, and he's Magdish Chitim, and the guy sees it and he knows it. Right. So that's also an interesting debate. Different Lishonos and Rishonim, whether or not, again, Pashas of the Gemara is that he always pays only Saorim, right? Even in that circumstance where he gave him initial you know, rights for Chitim. You know, again, if he gave him rights for chitim and he, you know, was magdish, you know, saorim, but he was, let's say, matmin chitim, you know, so what would happen, you know, in that case? It's basically the same kind of a parallel, you know, case where the guy, you know, tells you that he's being makabel shmira for, you know, kesef, but he really does know, you know, that it's zav. So, say, if you look at the lishonos of the Rishonim, some of them like the Meiri, and I think it's also written in Peretz also, they just happen to add in, or not happen to add in, they add in that we're talking about cases where it's, let's say, covered, implying that the person, you know, doesn't know about it. But had he known, you know, that indeed what he had was Zav and not Kesef, or let's say in the case of the field, you know, he really knew there was Chitim there, you know, even though there was no, let's say, explicit, you know, Kabbalah Shmira, except for Seorim, the implication is that in that circumstance it would still be a Chitim. And the Ksos, I believe, in Shulchan Aruch, disagrees and says that, you know, that as long as there's no Kabbalah Shmira, that and the person, you know, Shalom Bershus, added or misidentified what it was, then even if there's knowledge, you know, you wouldn't have any teeth. Again, there might be a difference between being mazik, you know, biyadayim, and not exercising properly your shmira. But that becomes a very interesting case as well in terms of drawing the line between the different issues. So there are numerous other issues in that sugya, but we want to move on. So just be aware that some of these questions, at least one other I'll just mention very quickly, and that is the question, what happens when a person gives reshus, let's say, to someone else, be magdish, again, mashal makom, to be magdish chitim, and let's say the fellow is actually magdish seorim, but he's matmin chitim. So again, the Gemara says clearly in that case that you're only chayiv mishum seorim. But what the Gemara doesn't say is what happens. You always pay for the tamun, right? As if it were, you know, you don't, you know, you're not potter for tamun legamri. You just don't pay the value of the object. You pay the value of the galui, right? But since he gave reshus for chitim, right, in that circumstance. So in that case, would he pay the, you know, the tamun of chitim, at least the part that's tamun, should be paid according to the standard of chitim or of seorim? Right, that's an interesting question as well. So that's something of the Midchas Chinuch again discusses. Again, there seem to be different views in Poskim Shulchan Aruch about it. So these are all, there are a bunch of gray area cases. What I'm trying to say. In some of these issues, and in light of all everything that we've done, in terms of the different rishonim, and you know what's shmira, what's aish, you know what's the gray area in between, we can certainly understand why some of these cases would be controversial. Yeah.
So on the Minchasina point about the social realm, social chavira.
Yeah.
If you disagree with Minchasina, then doesn't that basically amount to saying that the distinction between social realm, social chavira?
That
you're high if
you
burn down someone's
chutzner? Say that one more time. The Minchas Chinuch is saying that if you start the fire in Shimon's field, then it burns on Levi's, then it's like burning, it's like starting the fire in Levi's. I was saying that maybe that isn't true because is what's significant about being Madlik Betok Shalo and then it's spreading to Shal Chavero. You know, the question of if it's Rishus and no Rishus, then it's true. You have a right to, you know, all things being equal. So we can understand that you can make a fire in your own field, but you don't have fire. You don't have rights to make fire in, you know, in the field of the Nizah. You don't have a right to make a fire in some neutral party's field either. But if, what I was saying was that if it's a din that, you know, just like there's a difference within a field, you know, God, the Godish, that gets burnt down or not, even if it isn't makom gachalaso. So too, you know, there's some tziruf, you know, in the totality, the bilus of his field. Then that might not be true. This just might be an added phase when it's shel chavero, even if you have no rishos there. So now so you're saying,
the entirety of the rule would just be once it spreads to a different property than your chutzner.
I'm just saying, yeah, if it goes over a different property line and you have different people to deal with, that itself might mitigate or moderate the chitza part of your age.
I was thinking about the chiddush of that, because like Ben is just saying that when you burn down Shimon's property, you're chayav.
Oh, the din Torah isn't with Shimon. The din Torah is with Levi. Let's assume. Let's say you light a fire in Shimon's property.
But the Gemara's lying that social.
Or let's say, or I'll take another case, not the case of the Mekaschino, but let's say you, right? I mean, I don't know. Let's keep it there. Yeah, I'm sorry. Is the Gemara saying basically Madle Petosho Chavero? That's the question. Is the Gemara saying Madle Petosho Chavero? Or is the Gemara saying anything that's not Madle Petosho Chavero?
Right, but if it's saying that former one, then what it's saying is that Madle Petosho Chavero, meaning if you burn down Shimon's house, you're fired. Because we're saying that if you light Shimon's house and it spreads to Levi, you're obviously potter, just like if you light your own house and it spreads to Levi.
I mean, according to what I'm suggesting, maybe true. I know you're potter, but at least it's not. It doesn't have the same level of Aish. In terms of Tamun, you might be potter. That we're talking about Tamun. No, Zigamar makes a distinction between Matik Bato Shalo and Matik Bato Shal Chaveiro, right, according to the Chacham. So I'm just saying the paradigm case, the classical case, is, you know, I'm madlik literally betok sheli, or I'm madlik directly betok shel Levi, let's say, you know, whose damages we are considering. So what would happen if you were madlik betok shel Shimon and then it spread shel Levi? That's not, you know, as innocent as being madlik betok shelo. On the other hand, it is a phase removed from being madlik directly b'shel Levi. And what if you were madlik, you know, betok shel Cha? You know, and then it spread from Shimon, and then it spread to Levi. That probably would, you know, since you have Shalom, you have Shalchaveiro. But there too, you don't, you know, you wonder whether or not it has any. But let's just stick to this case. So your Madlik Patoshal Shimon goes to Shalevi, as opposed to your Madlik Patoshal Atzmon goes, you know, Shalevi, or Shal Shimon, whatever you want to call it.
At the very least, it seems like a very strange way for the Gemara to set up that principle. Right? It should have just said, like, if you light in one chazer, your chazer al Talmud for another chazer. Why did
I guess because typically, you know, I guess typically fire damages, you know, and therefore it's going to damage, you know, we don't care about the damage that you inflict upon yourself, except for maybe about Tashkis. So, you know, the assumption is fire is going to destroy. So there's always going to be, I'm guessing that would be the reason. I'm just saying there is a missing case, that's all. I mean, Mechaschino Knoz is a missing case too. Right, that's what he's talking about. He's just saying, I think this is all about Rishus, and since it's about Rishus, I'm saying, okay, it could be it's about Rishus, but there's still a gap between the place where you lit and the place, you know, which burnt down. So, right, in terms of being more distant, I'm giving you the mashal of the Gaddish. If you think a Gaddish inside a field matters as opposed to the rest of the field, then Kol Shekein, you might think, right, that, you know, being Madlik directly in the field as opposed to directly, indirectly in someone else's field, even if in both cases it's Shimon Rishus. But that's what I'm suggesting. Again, we just don't have the case in the Gemara. You're asking, why not? I mean, wouldn't that be more, you know, whatever I'm saying? Because typically, let's say Shimon is not, you know, Shimon's your cousin, you know, so he's not going to sue you, you know. Or, you know, Shimon is, you know, it's not a Sadashal Hefker, let's say, but, you know, by the way, what happens if you light in a Sadashal Hefker? That's what I was going to say before, then I thought better of it, but why not throw, you know, go into it? You know, you're Madlik B'Sadashal Hefker, right? And then it spreads to someone else's property. Is that any different than, you know, to begin with, being Madlik B'Toshal Ka, and it's spreading? The answer is, in both cases, there's no violation of Rishus, right? But on the other hand, being Madlik B'Toshalo has a much more innocuous, you know, connotation of being like, you know, it's Alpi Din, you know, Madlik, you know, B'tat Shilo. Right? And then, oh, it's got out of hand. Whereas if you're Madlik B'tat Shal Hefker, true. You're not, you know, there's no Dine Mominus immediate, you know, issue, but it still isn't Madlik B'tat Shalo with that connotation. So I think all these cases are interesting and worth, you know, if we were just dealing with a situation where, you know, you had pure chitzav or you had pure mamono, I'm saying then all these chilukim would be very problematic. But since we know there's like this huge range, according to some rishonim, you know, and it's so subtle, you know, that maybe your intention in making the, you know, the fire to begin with, where you make the fire, you know, all these chilukim matter. Once we know that, I'm saying, you know, these are other considerations to throw into the mix. Okay. Let's get back to the sugya that we want to do today, because we have to move on to other, we have to get past Aish, right? So we started reading the other day, right, the Mishnah on Nun Tesod Beis. So we're doing that quickly because we wanted to just, you know, establish what it is that we're doing. And Avrami, you want to... So let's get back to this and talk more specifically based on the Rishonim that hopefully you've seen. We'll try to, again, move quickly through this part of it. Of course, this is a very critical issue. Two critical issues that are coming up, and that is the role of Livui, you know, Haruach in its own right. That's the Mishnah problem, which we're going to discuss right now. And then the, you know, related problem in the Gemara, and that is Liva V'Livsa, you know, Haruach. Okay. And in the background here, you know, certainly also is the question of how you define Maisim, how you define Eish, and what is Eish, and also how you define Maisim in Hilchos Shabbos, you know, as opposed to Mazik, and which one, you know, are these the only two categories? That's also something to think about, which we'll get to in just a second. We want to at least get this Sugya Balmasra start. I don't know if we're going to finish it today. Probably not, but we'll get that in on the record as well. Okay, so Avrami, go ahead. Just one more time, just the mission quickly, so we can talk about... Yeah. So Bachar Beliva Hamalava Kayev. That's not so controversial. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, you have somebody else who kind of usurped whatever it is that you were doing, you know, so let's leave that for the moment. That seems mostly okay. That's obviously controversial. But the last one, Livsa Ruach Kulam Peturim, is a matter of great controversy. It's a uniform statement, you know, in Mishnah. There doesn't seem to be any Chalkim that Livsa Ruach is poter. And yet it stirred up, you know, a hornet's nest in the Rishon. Right? It's an interesting phenomenon. You know, a line in the Mishnah which is uniformly accepted and yet it's challenged by the Rishonim. But the reason that it's challenged is, you know, it's for a very good reason. Namely, Avrami?
It's not clear what kind of Ruach it is.
Well, it's not clear what type of Ruach it is, so there's an ambiguity, 100%. But that, you know, that's just, you know, how it could be challenged, I guess. But, you know, again, conceptually, why is it challenged? Is because, and we'll read it inside the Tosas in just a second, we'll have you read it, but why is it challenged? I mean, just if you read it, so you could say, oh, you know, what is this talking about? That's fine. You know, but probably you're going to say, what is it talking about after your curiosity is piqued and you're a little bit, you know, on the offensive? Right? Because just why should it be so? Meaning, if we're talking about a Ruach Metsuya, why should this be so? After all, isn't the whole... Right, I mean, or put it there, yeah, that's a way to say it. Havelei Lasuket Daiti, I agree. But, you know, even a better way to say it is...
That is
Eish. Exactly. You know, again, it's not wrong what you said, just right. A more direct way to say it is this is Koach HaKar Mu'urabo, isn't it? Isn't the whole idea of Eish the idea that, you know, the power of the wind, you know, is the power of nature, you know, is integrated, you know, into, you know, man's actions or responsibility. Right, otherwise, it would never be Eish. That's the whole point. Ein ba mashasha, that's one element. But the other one is, it's koach acher, right? Mu'urabo. It's not really chitzav or koko, you know, shel adam. And it's not just that. It's kochal shel some other force. It's, you know, the Ribbono Shalom did it, right? I don't mean it, literally. But you get what I'm saying. So the point is, what is the maishana, basically... The ruach contribution, you know, when it comes to leva, you know, ha'esh, as opposed to holachas ha'esh. That's really clearly, you know, what the Mishnah seems to be saying and what the Rishonim seem to be challenging. Okay, so if you say we're talking about ruach she'ena mitzuya, right? So again, that as you say, there's no havelei lasuke adaite for that. You know, ruach she'ena mitzuya wouldn't work. All things being equal, to be molich es ha'esh either. That's not called koach achar mu'urabo, right? Because that's something more extraordinary. So it's, you know, you could say it's a p'tur anus, you could say even more, that it's just not mitzuraf to you because, you know, it's a, you know, it's a different kind of an intervention, right? You know, a Maisa Shemayim, whatever you want to call it, you know. So, oh, so that's what inspired the Bali Tosfos. So what do they actually say? Just read it really quickly. Pirshri. This is how he sets up the problem. Pashtus is we're dealing with the Ruach Mitzuya. Go ahead. Yeah, we already read the Gemara. We know the Gemara, right? Okay. This is exactly the lashon to use correctly before. Correct. Okay. Vim Tomar. Yeah, meaning that's what in a word, what Tosis is really saying is, you know, what's the difference between Ruach Mitzuya, which is part of the Hagdara of Eish in Holaka, and Ruach Mitzuya, which is part of the Hagdara of Eish. Why shouldn't it also be part of the Hagdara of Eish, you know, when it comes to, let's say, the Chefza Shel Eish, or the quality of the Chefza Shel Eish? That might be the answer by formulating the question. We might have given the answer, but that's very important, at least, you know, to identify. The question itself is very critical. Okay. Go ahead. The Ein L'chalek, so this is the first thing that he says, right?
Yeah.
The Ein L'chalek. Okay, why not say that? It sounds pretty good. Okay, but does it sound pretty good? And this is the Rishonim who argue pretty much do argue this, although we have to be very careful in the Lashon and in the application. That's where Basra comes in, Tosfos Basra, and some of the others, because it isn't even just as simple as that. Okay. So is this an attractive thing to say? Tosfos doesn't say it's not. It's interesting. Tosfos' objection is not that it's an unattractive thing to say. Like, you know, Tosfos just could have said, you know, Mishna, like, it's a distinction, you know, but it's a distinction that is legally, you know, a lot of distinctions in the world, right? It's a legally insignificant distinction. Is that what Tosfos says? No. Tosfos says it's just wrong. You know, the evidence points to this not being the answer. We'll just discuss that for a second, and then we'll get back to what we need to say about it. Go ahead. Why? What's the evidence? Yeah, so what's the raya from that? Is that a good raya? What is that raya?
If the
cheresh, yeah. If it was factually correct, that if a cheresh carrying around the gacheles was going to, per se, the movement itself of the cheresh, right, was going to ignite it, right? So it sounds like that would have been chayim. Okay? Therefore, says Tosis, we see from here, right, that Livui Haruach, Haidei Ruach Mitzuya, is inadequate. Huh? I'm sorry, is adequate. Sorry. Is that good? So what, you know, she's comparing the movement of the Cheresh, right, with, vis-a-vis the Chiyuv of the Mishaleach, right, with the Ruach Mitzuya of the Mavir. And is that do you think that's good or not?
You assume that the Irish may have its own, maybe it's different, like
Chizah Shocherish. Well, Chizah Shocherish is going to make you for sure potter, but that's not going to help you. Or you mean think it's a good reason for that? It's good for that.
Yeah.
Well, no, but then shouldn't the reason, you know, be because it's Chizah Shocherish, that would be bad? Actually, Chizah Shocherish is a reason to be potter, in that case, we want, on the contrary, we want to suggest, we're saying in that case that if the Chayrish walking around would have ignited the flame, then the Bailim would have been Chayiv. Is that what we're saying? The Gemara says that if when the Chayrish walks around, it's still going to extinguish. The Diakintosis has had it not extinguished, had it inflamed the Eish, then the Meshaleach would be Chayiv. So Hu Adin, Livui HaRuach, you see from here that even though what he deposited in the hand of the Chayrish was less than an adequate or viable flame, right? Nonetheless, the Livui Al Yidei Chayrish would have been enough. So Hu Adin, it's just that Lamaisa it doesn't. But Hu Adin Libui Al Yidei Ruach Metzuya. That's what Tosa says, correct? Yeah. So I'm just asking you. We'll see in a second what the Rishonim say about it. But do you think when you read Tosas, because again, if you're a I guess if you're a legal formalist, so you like what Tosas is being docha, I think the chiluk between the sheimesh and halacha seish, right? So the only reason Tosas is being docha is because of this raya, puts the raya under more pressure. So Does it sit well with you, this? I mean, we certainly understand the raya. Not a terrible raya at all. But the question is, if you really want to rehabilitate Tosas's suggestion, if it appeals to you, so, you might not want to make it so easy, right? You might want to challenge this raya. Is there a way to challenge the raya or not? Do you think it's a good comparison, good equation? The ruach mitsuya, right, is going to be malava the eish? That should be fine because the Chayrish, in his wanderings, is going to be Malava the Esh. What do you think?
I thought
you
could be in the case of the...
Okay, what way?
In the case of the Esh. Rather than the case of the Ruach.
The Ruach and the Chayrish, and the Molech.
Yeah.
Okay, how so? No, but you said before that Savta the Chayrish. Savta the Chayrish is a disaster here. Savta the Chayrish is a reason to be Potter because then the Chayrish is Potter.
Right.
So whatever we need to make it Chayiv, to explain that it's Chayiv, it's not Savta the Chayrish, it's Savta the Adam, notwithstanding the Livui Al Yedei Holochas HaChayrish. We need to get the chiyuv mitzuraf to the pikeach.
Yeah.
Correct? Is that different than ruach or not? Tzavta the chayrish should be the reason to go the opposite way. 100%. This is the question. The question is there a difference between the contribution of nature, right, ruach mitzuya, right, and the contribution of a human being, who is integrated in, who's involved in this process, right? So Tosas assumes, again, to be fair, we understand what Tosas is saying. Tosas says no. In both cases, when the potential bar chiyuva, right, when he walks away, from this Eish, it's Ein Bo Kedei Livuya. Right? And the Gemara implies that even though the Bar Chiyuva is walking away, when it's Ein Bo Kedei Livuya, in the case of Chayrish, Lu Yitzuyar, that the Metzias, would support, Livuy, that would be fine. I mean, you could combine his, Mesiras Davar She'ein Bo Livui with a later act of Livui, right? So Tosa says, Hu Adin, in both cases you hand over something which is inadequate from a Livui point of view. Its Livui component, right, only kicks in later. So what you see is that you don't need Levi in order to be Chayev. Right? All you need is the predictability, you know, that the Eish will spread and that there'll be a Levi. That's Tosis's bottom line. And not just Tosis, but a bunch of Rishonim. The question is, are all post, you know, Hanachas, you know, Ha'esh, or post Mesiras Ha'esh, She'en Bo Kedei Livuyos, the same? Is it possible that there's a difference? And I think there could be two differences. Right? One difference may be whether or not the actual force, you know, that's going to provide, right, the Livui, is that something which is already present or not? We'll see in Lashon HaSod Rishon. But I'm just saying, even if we were just thinking about it on our own, I think these are things that would have occurred to us. Right? So, for example, is there a difference between, you know, if you think that the Cheresh, I mean, if the Cheresh is going to take this object, if Ninduud HaCheresh, or Tiltul HaCheresh, is always going to be Malave, so you could say, it's true, you know, what he gave him right now is incomplete, right? But the mechanism, you know, for completing, you know, the Shemesh is already at hand. Right? Because he is giving it to the Cheresh, who's going to be taking it. Again, let's you know, each point, Bali Tosis will say, you know, that's a distinction, but we don't think it's legally significant enough of a distinction. At the end of the day, he still gave him something without a Shemesh. But maybe you could say, you know, it's only not a Shemesh, you know, if the means are ready, you know, for there to be Shemesh are not there. But here they are. Ruach Mitzuya is coming, and you can rely on it, but it isn't necessarily there. For example, so what would happen, for example, if there was a Ruach Mitzuya and he gave it to him? Maybe that would be the equivalent of this, if you take that explanation. What if there was a Ruach She'ena Mitzuya and it was already there? That also might be sufficient, as we'll soon discuss. Right? If you think that this question of timing, right, is not relevant, right, which obviously Tosis doesn't, then there's still a different way to go. And that is possibly the difference, and here you could go either way, between a natural force, which is going to provide the Livui, right, and a partner, you know, or a physical force, you know, human force that's going to provide the Livui. So here you might say, kind of the mentality, just not those words that you use. But again, you were going in the other direction. We needed you to go in the other direction. That's why. He said, Tzav Tevcher. Now, you could say that Tosis is saying, Kol Shekein, meaning, you know, it's easier, you know, to integrate or to harness, you know, the force of nature, the predictable force of nature, which is Ruach Mitzuya, you know, and then it is the Livui of the Cheresh. Because, you know, that's kind of tzavta de cheresh in a certain sense. Right? So that, you know, he did his, and now the other guy's doing his. But you could also say the opposite. Namely, when it comes to, you know, the force of nature, so that is a separate entity. But, you know, the process of deputizing this cheresh, or having him do your bidding, you know, is kind of all part of it, all integrated into the process itself. That's all, you know, that takes care of Kedei, the Kedei Livuyo that is part of the Mesira. The Ruach Mitzuya is never part of the Mesira. That's always a separate entity. But the Cheresh is either more of a separate entity in the mentality of Tzavta de Cheresh. Right? Again, actual Tzavta de Cheresh, we say in Eishim Shemchitzav. I'm not talking about Eishim Shemchitzav here, but the same idea. Right. Not the, in other words, the Gavra, a rival Gavra, who is also not a Bar Chiyuva, you know, that can be seen as competitive and even more non-integrative. But you also could look at it the other way, and that is, you know, he's he put it in the hands of this fellow, and therefore that process is all maturef to him. Okay? Yeah? We'll see in a second what the Rishonim say, but there's a whole group of Rishonim who certainly do think that the distinction that Tosis makes between Shem Eish and Holochas Eish is correct, and they need to discuss that sugya. Okay. The Ra'ah, Talmidei Harash Mavaharash, Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz. So we'll see what some of them actually say, these things. Before we get to that, somebody had a question? You had a question? You thought better.
No, the more we think that
I instigated you by saying
that. That Mavir requires like exclusive creation, it'd be harder to say that there'd be a difference between what contributes.
No. Say it again?
And the more we think that...
Well, I think we're saying about saying the same thing. So you'll just tell me if what I'm saying is what you're saying. And that is that no matter what you say, but let's take a step back for a moment. Now, the Bali and Tosis were not, as I said, they could have objected for a different reason, I think is what you're getting at. Or no? You'll tell me. So the Bali and Tosis could have objected for a different reason. Right? They could have, just as they could have said the question is really, really good. Okay? Not just as a question, but it's just, that there's nothing, there's no distinction that you can make, and therefore no raya that you can bring, practically, that is going to alter our opinion here. Because, in the end of the day, it's in the nature of Eish that it's some sort of a combination of human and other factors, and that's what Eish is. And in the end of the day, it's the, actuarial part of it, or the probability part of it, that matters. End of story. In other words, if it's clear that there's a certain percentage or a certain likelihood, or maybe even practically a vadai, okay, ruach mitzuya, eventually there'll be a ruach mitzuya, so then the combination of what you did and that other force is Eish. Right? So who cares really whether it's holacha or yitzirah shemesh? Frankly, actually, I think you could have that would be the biggest objection here. So, for example, again, on a pragmatic level, let's say we're talking about your human responsibility. For leaving formalism out of it, legal formalism out of it completely, we'll say how your level of responsibility, right? Is there really any difference, between being Malaba and Eish, and then it's right here, let's say, Betok, Rishuscha, and, the wind is the wind. So why is that any different, than when there's no Shemesh, but the exact same likelihood and the exact same forces, in the end of the day, you lit a match, lahakdiach tavshilo or levashel or lahavir or lacha, whatever it is, you lit the match, and at the end of the day, the likelihood, that this match is going to burn down, Shimon's, or maybe we should stick with Levi's barn, is identical. It's the same wind pattern, same weatherman, right? Is to blame. Okay, in one case it's molech, the eish, and in the other case, it's also malava, the eish. It's exactly the same. It's that exact same level of wind. So you might say, just this: why should we care about shem eish, right? Or holochas eish? In the end of the day, if we're talking about a certain perspective on let's use Asher's Ha'ara just for a second to highlight it. I don't mean it so literally. Like, as a shomer, what are you being shomer? Right? If you're being shomer, the potential chepsa shel nezek, right? In the end of the day, your choser shmira is identical. If the same level of wind it's going to burn it down one way or another. Without that level of wind, it's not going to spread outside of your property. And with that level of wind, not only will it spread, but it'll inflame it or ignite it more you know, and then spread it. So if the question is, you know, what is your level of achrayus or pshia, right, when it comes to the davar hanizok, it's identical. Right? It's only if you look at the din of eish in a more legal or formal way, right, which basically means that you're acknowledging at the outset that from a purely pragmatic, you know, achrayus point of view, you know, from a purely pragmatic, you know, cause and effect, you know, responsibility, whatever it is, that's not enough to be mechayev. In order to be mechayev, there has to be, right, certain formal realities. What do you need? Maybe yitziras, if eish, going back to, right, to Tzvi's Tosfos Rav Hina Peretz, if you want to look at eish as a kind of a bore, yitziras hamazik, so then the distinction between, you know, yitziras hamazik v'holocha al yidei ruach, right, and yitziras hamazik al yidei ruach is enormous. Right? Even if we're talking about, you know, shmira, but we're talking about the shmira of the mazik, not the shmira of the dvarim hanizakim, right? It's reasonable to make that distinction. And certainly also, if you're thinking of tziruf to the maisa hezek, whether mishum chitzav or mishum amono, so we're trying to, you know, take something which seems to be, you know, pressured or inadequate as a maisa hezek because it's not really koko. We'll say, oh, al yidei ruach mitzuya, koach achar murabo, right? It's considered, you know, mitzuraf to your action. But maybe, you know, your action, you know, or it can substitute, you know, as a pu'ula or as a spread. But part of the hagdara of you being, you know, is you need to be the mavir. Right? So again, is it tchilas ha-maisa? Is it formal tziruf of maisa, but at least you're the bala eish? Is it shmiras ha-eish? Or is it yitziras ha-eish? Any of those perspectives, all of which we've seen strong echoes of, either within chitzav or mishum amono, let me make it clear, do not compel you to accept the distinction that Tosis is rejecting. Right? In other words, if you don't want to accept that distinction, I think there are two things that you could say. The first and most obvious thing you would say is what we just said a second ago, and that is that when we're interested in Aish, we're interested in a pragmatic, actuarial, probability, you know, perspective. We just want to know whether when you struck the match, right, it was predictable, and therefore it's your responsibility for what's going to happen, you know, typically. If you take that view, even if you were to suggest that when it comes to Yitziras Shem Mazik, all these things the distinction between Livui and Holacha is applicable, you say, but who cares? That isn't what Eish is. Eish means, you know, probability. And therefore, achrayus on the chefetz shel nezek. End of story. Even if you think that eish, right, is about the maisa tziruf to the maisa hezek, and therefore this combination of, you know, what he does and what the ruach does, or yitzira samazik, or shmira samazik, and the things that we just said, even then you might say, you know, that livui, you know, haruach is part of that. First of all, it's an interesting question to ask in general. You light a match, there is a flame. Right? To what extent is livui, you know, haruach, or livui, ha-eish, or ha-lahav, is that a different cheftza? Right? What is that? Because, or is that what makes the cheftza into a mazik, because without that, you know, it's going to be stillborn, pretty much? Now, is the quality of it as a cheftza what different, or is it, as I say, the shemazik of it different, or is it even just an issue of like tchilas, you know, holachoso in a kind of way? Hard to know. Okay, so we've said a lot already, but just, you know, we're kind of doing this in a front-loaded kind of way. But just to sum up, what I'm saying is, Tosas, the Mishnah says that Livui Haruach is Potter. Okay? And the first thrust in Tosas is, the question is certainly a strong question for any Rishon, and that is, why is this different than classic H? Right? Tosas' suggestion of being Mechalek between Shemesh and Holachas Ha'esh, you know, is certainly legally very attractive, very suasive. And Tosas doesn't reject it because he thinks it's crazy, right, or wrong. Tosas thinks that, you know, it's against the Gemara. Okay. As for being against the Gemara, we've suggested there are at least two, we'll see if there's any more, distinctions to apply. Right. One is whether, you know, the Kedei Lelavos is already present, in which case there's already a distinction between the Gemara earlier and this sugya. We would wonder whether the same would be true even for Ruach She'ena Metsuya or Ruach Metsuya. Once you say that, what about Ruach Metsuya? What about Ruach She'ena Metsuya? By the way, you still might distinguish. Right? Why? Because what you might say is that in the case of Cheresh, right, Nindudo, whatever it is, Shel Cheresh, right, that by definition, you know, is already, you know, the refuah is kodem lamaka. I should say, the maka is kodem l'refuah. Right. Depends whether we want to burn down the guy's field or not, right? But, right, in real life, just to make it clear, we don't. You know, but in terms of the excitement of the case, we do. So, the point is that in the case of Masar Lecheres, that's the whole point. So it's structured in that the Kedei Livuyo is already there and therefore integrated. The fact that a Ruach Metsuya might already be there, right, is a coincidence. So even if you take this perspective and that being the distinction, what you might say is, I don't care if the Ruach Metsuya is here when he lit the you might care. Or you might say, you know, it didn't have to be. But in every case of Nesira, L'Cheresh, you know, for the purpose, the Cheresh is Nindud, is there. Okay. Or you might draw the line at Ruach Metsuya, which is there, and Ruach She'ena Metsuya, which is there, for the same reason. Meaning, at least Ruach Metsuya, so, you know, it's being here matters. Because either way, it's expected to come. So if it's expected to come and it's already here, it's more easily integrated, you know, into the process. Right. But Ruach She'ena Metsuya, that is present, maybe that never counts. Right. Because that's always, you know, something which is not, you know, integratable, you know, into the process. That's a question to ask, by the way, not only about Livui in this context, but about Holacha, right, in other contexts, which we'll see. In other words, what about Ruach She'ena Metsuya, which is there, Legabe, spreading age? Although you might be Mechalik. You might say that in Livui, in Yetziras Shemesh, you know, that we have higher standards than we do for the Holacha. The Holacha maybe is just more of a, you know, pragmatic aspect. Okay? The other possibility, as we've said, is maybe to distinguish between, you know, a human force and a natural force, right? And that could be in either direction. You might say kol shekein. You see from Cheresh, you know, that certainly, you know, that ruach is going to work because Cheresh has the downside of being, you know, competitive. In the sense of, you know, kind of the mentality of Chitz of Shel Cheresh, not the din of Chitz of Shel Cheresh. But I think it's also possible to say the opposite, and that is, you know, this Cheresh or this Katan is your kind of pawn, And therefore, you know, he's part of what you're doing here. And therefore, the Kedei Livuyo that comes from him is all part of the, you know, is all part of the same process. And Ruach, even though it can be harnessed in Halacha, is always harnessed as a separate entity, and as such, it can never be the source of Kedei Livuyo. So we'll see in a moment some of the Lashonos. And first, I just want to get through the Tosfos. But okay. Then, the other thing that we mentioned is that this distinction, per se, as legally compelling as it is, requires us to, or put it this, is Josh there?
Where is he?
Oh, there he is. How'd you get there? You were there before, right? It's not just my, okay. No, the whole battery technology has changed. We don't need outlets. Anyways, but that's kind of what you were saying, the other thing? In other words, this distinction is all predicated on the fact that we're not talking about simply, you know, the pragmatic, you know, more technical responsibility to guard, you know, all the potential victims. Because if it is, then all these chilukim aside, formal as they are, defensible as they are, in the end of the day, who cares, right? Because it's not sufficient. If we focus on Yitziras HaMazik, shame, Shmiras Shem HaMazik, or Shmiras HaMazik, or Tziruf, then we're not forced to say this distinction, but it becomes very compelling. Okay. Did you want to say something different?
I wanted to ask him, it doesn't matter.
What? I thought you were saying all that in like that one
moment.
I give you so much credit, it's amazing.
The additional point after that is that, I think the more we focus like exclusively on, you know, Amaver being something which requires exclusive creation, it shouldn't matter.
Exclusive?
Like Yitzira.
Right.
So it shouldn't necessarily matter if the Cherish creates it or the Tzayde Ruah.
I think it would.
Help somewhere.
You mean talking about Yitzira Samazik?
Like the
right, whatever. No. Saying a mavir is another way of saying, and again, this is the way that some Rishonim say it, is that there's a difference between halacha and yetzira sa'esh.
Right.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, then it dafka could. There could be very compelling reasons to be mechalik between nature and chemish, I think. Okay. Good. Let's continue just in the lines of the Tosis because there's still more to talk about. Go ahead. Avrami, go ahead. Ein shem eish alav lo karin hamavir sabeira. So we said that's wrong. Okay, good. So we're left with the question, right?
Yeah. So the eish omar. Vivsa aruach the masnis hem tai avach ha v'libo. The hash ha v'libo v'libsa aruach kibreis in the Gemara.
So then it means that that line in the Mishnah is just kind of the Gemara is like speaking about that line in the Mishnah. It doesn't sound that way in the Gemara. That's a very creative reading of the Mishnah, right? And what forces Tosis into that creative, the logical problem forces Tosis to reread the Mishnah in a very creative way. Correct? Okay, good. V'chein mashma. Now, once you're doing that, you can see what's going on here. Right? Tosis knows that what they're saying is a little bit bedokak, right? But then the anomalies, you know, reinforce it. Like, what's this vikulon, right? So, if it's liva velivsa, so it's plural, you know, as opposed to some other kind of kulon's a little bit of an awkward, so it's better to take, you know, a less polished or a less obvious reading of the Mishnah because it ends up, you know, being reinforced by other anomalies. Okay, go ahead. I mean, we're talking really about a case of Zayni Yachov, Zayni Yachov. The exact case of the Gemara on Samech Amud Aleph, the next case that we have to discuss. Okay. Go ahead. Right, so the different
right.
Perspective. Instead of saying that we should read the Mishnah and that the word livsa ruach means liva v'livsa ruach, we're saying no. The Mishnah is kachuto, right? But it means ruach she'ena metzuya, which is also bedochak because pashtus of a ruach, pashtus ruach is ruach metzuya. But again, if it's illogical and it doesn't make it doesn't stand, you know, our scrutiny, then obviously, as we've said many times, the best shot is, you know, what's plausible given all the factors, right? So it's Ruach She'ena Metzuya. Go ahead. So what's he saying now?
That the cases where the wind is already there.
So what is there? So Ruach She'ena Metzuya is like Ruach Metzuya when it's not there, or it's still different? Again, Bechinab Dachak Lefarish to Livsa Ruach Hainu Liva Livsa. We're really talking about Ruach Livsa Ruach is Livsa Ruach Bifne Atzma. It's Ruach She'ein Metzuya. Okay. So, but the, and the Gemara.
And the Gemara doesn't matter.
That's Bein Metzuya Bein Ein Metzuya, because it's a case where the Ruach She'ein Metzuya is already there. So this is Tosis weighing in on another question, and that is the question that I touched on a minute ago, and that is, you know, we were talking about, is there a difference between Cheresh and Ruach? And that can go either direction. Right? And then I said, is there a difference between Ruach Shekvar Matsui, or Shekvar Nimtza, we'll say, because otherwise it sounds too much like Ruach Matsuya. Ruach Matsuya Shekvar Nimtza, right, and not. And is there a difference in that between Ruach Matsuya Shekvar Nimtza and Ruach She'ina Matsuya Shekvar Nimtza? All reasonable places to draw the line. Tosis here says, basically, no. There's no difference between Ruach Metzuya, Shenimtza, right? Or between Ruach Metzuya and Ruach She'ena Metzuya, Shenimtza. And when the Gemara speaks about Liva V'Livsa Ruach, if it's Ruach She'ena Metzuya, but it's already there, then we treat it like Ruach Metzuya. Is that reasonable and logical? Yes. Is it arguable? Yes. Okay? Good. For the reason that we said. Okay. And again, maybe Liva V'Livsa is different than Livsa alone. But what would Tosa say, in other words, about Ruach She'ena Metzuya, you know, which is already there, you know, Legabe Livui, Atzmo, without Liva V'Livsa. Right? Presumably Tosa would say that that's fine too. Correct? Yeah? Nobody objects?
Ein is in Yubichayev.
Yeah. Well, in other words, if, let's say the case of the Mishnah is now, Tosa is now saying that the case of the Mishnah is what?
Here is where.
Ruach She'ena Metzuya. Shaliva Biatzma. But let's say the Ruach She'ena Metzuya was already there. Then probably would Tosa think it's like Ruach Metzuya? So then Yubichayev. Right. What I'm saying is you could have said both about the case of the Gemara, Liva V'Livsa, and a case of the Mishnah, Livsa Ruach B'Atzma, that even Ruach She'ena, that Ruach She'ena Metzuya is excluded, even if it's already there. Right? I'm even suggesting that even if Ruach Metzuya's presence, you know, matters already, that Ruach She'ena Metzuya could still be different. Okay, but Tosus here seems to be treating Ruach She'ena Metzuya Shenimtzeis like a Ruach Metzuya, and that's a reasonable position. Go ahead. Again, kachli, just to make clear, kachli she'ena metzuya kimetzuya, you know, should provoke a little bit of our, you know, resistance. Because, again, integrating a ruach, which is there, you know, when it's Metzuya, and seeing that as part of the natural fabric of what's, you know, that all integrates into what's happening, you know, is much easier to say than Ruach She'ena Metzuya. But the kachli is Tosis' way of saying, you know, I know you're going to say that, but I don't think it's true. Okay, go ahead. The Chei Mashma, go ahead. Tosis Ruzo Shal Rava. Yeah, I don't know whether that's so prudent, but it's an interesting rhyme, meaning that implies that the Ruach is already there. Okay. B'chei mashma b'Yerushalmi.
B'chei mashma b'Yerushalmi, the masnis in Ayri b'Ruach She'ena Metzuya.
Oh. So what do you make of... So okay, so you're through. Basically, in the end, Tosa is saying, I know the Parshanut is a little bit tricky here, but I've also got a Yerushalmi. Okay. Again, we, you know, just recently encountered a bunch of those, right? You know, whether Yerushalmis are, you know, indicative, you know, of Bavlis, especially when they sound a little bit different. What's intriguing here about Tosas is that Tosas doesn't tell us what he thinks about the Seifa of the Yerushalmi that he quotes, right? I mean, because basically Ruach, the chilik between Ruach Onus or Ones, okay, that's Ruach Shein Metzuya, fine. Aval Beruach She'olam Misnaig Bo Chayiv, but Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, right? Travayu Amrei Afilu Beruach She'olam Misnaig Bo She'pa'amim Ubal Pa'amim She'ino Bo. So what is that? So obviously Tosas thinks that we, the pashtus of Tosas is that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we paskin like the Chachamim. But it's an interesting argument. So at least according to Tosas, it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were of the opinion, you know, that that Ruach Metzuya, you know, doesn't work for creating Livui Aruach. But let's read that for a moment. Why? Because Pa'amim Ba, Pa'amim Eino Ba. Okay. Is there something to say about that? Are you? What? But is any ruach? I mean, let's assume for a moment that we're referring to ruach metzuya. I'm saying, so why would this? What I'm really asking is, this comment of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, it doesn't apply to halacha. Halacha's a ruach, does it? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, we know what their view is of Eish. You know, they argue whether it's Mishum Chitza, Mishum Mono, great. But they're talking about Ruach Metzuya, right? And even a told of Eish is Avano Sakino Maso, right? Sheniach HaRosh HaGag, and it's, you know, Nafal Beruach Metzuya. So why not the guy puts, what does the guy do? He puts the, the knapsack or whatever it is down, and there's always a Ruach Metzuya there at the time? No. Right? Or Monashach, one way or another. So this comment of, you know, Ruach She'olam Misnaig Bo She'pamim Ba Pamimeno Ba, right? It sounds very reasonable on the face of it until you start thinking, well, what happened to, you know, the Holacha Sa'esh? Ah. So what do you think, Ari, about that? Do you agree that's a question? Like, if it meant something else, which we're going to get to in a second, some Rishonim claim. What did some Rishonim say? Anybody know? About this Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? Yeah? That it's also not a Ruach Metzuya. Yeah, exactly. So the Rajba says that this, because he was troubled by this, right, that this Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, basically there are three Ruachs, right? There's a Ruach Sheina Metzuya, there's a Ruach Metzuya, and there's a Ruach in between, right, which is Ba and Eino Ba. Okay. That's interesting. By the way, so let's talk about that first. You have the language in the Rajba? Just for a second.
Okay.
The Rajbo was makabing to my no. Right? So that's all right. So according to the Rajbas, reading of the Yerushalmi, right, there are three Eishas. Right? There's Ruach Shein and Metzuya, there's Ruach Metzuya, and there's something in between. Very fascinating. And the debate between Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish and the Chachamim, is where to draw the line. Everybody will agree that Ruach Metzuya can provide even Livui Ha'esh, right? And everybody will agree that Ruach Shein and Metzuya cannot. And there's this, Pa'amim Ba, Pa'amim Lo Ba, which is in the middle. So, for example, well, just to highlight it this way, I mean, I think it's clear in the Rajba, and what will everybody say about Avanos Akino Maso, Sheiniach Al Rosh Gago, and that it was, which was spread by this Ruach, this middle one? What do they say about that? Probably Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish against Chachamim. Yeah, presumably, so that's an interesting argument. But in other words, the point I'm trying to make is that if you hold, what motivated the Rajba was what? He didn't want to distinguish between the Hagdara of Ruach Legabe Holacha and the Hagdara of Ruach Legabe Yitziras Shemesh Belibui. Because the whole point, in a way, of this whole Mahalach, right, is that there's no difference between, between the Livui question and the Halacha question. End of story. Correct? Aye, so it's an interesting side argument. That side argument may be something curious. And I thought you were saying this for a second, and then maybe you were saying for a second, that maybe that's Kufa part of the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish when it comes to Halacha. There might have been a basis for that. I don't think in the Rajba's citation. At least it reminds us of what? What are we? Something that we have encountered? It's not true for the Rajba, but one might. But doesn't matter. The phenomenon anyway. It could be. I'm not being clear. Meaning, the idea that there might be in Holacha as well as Livui, right? A debate about how Matsui. Let's say the ruach needs to be, reminds us, it echoes in our ear, I think. Right? Does it echo in our ear? Gershon David, is it echoing in your ear? You look a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, maybe you just talked about the Tzvar Talmud and about, how much you should expect.
No, not so. Okay, Miasuka Daite, okay. So I agree, it has to do with that. What's the level of expectation? Okay. But even more, just more specifically. Nathan? Exactly. Tosus on Chav Beis Amid Beis, when Tosus talks about Chitzav Shel Cheresh, right? So the Tosus has a very interesting Ha'ara. If you remember, we discussed it, right? Teimelari, Ichasha Mitzira LeCheresh Kiruach Mitzuya LeRab Yochanan Nami Mechayim. Right? It shouldn't be Chitzav Shel Cheresh, it should be Chitzav Shel Bailim. V'i lo chashev kiruach mitzuya ma kashel reish lakish. Holo dami lamasar shoro. Lo kulam amod ein chayavim kal al eish al abichol lahazik beruach mitzuya. Right? Says Tosis, the Omeri, that there's a difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding, how Bari Hazeka, the eish, needs to be Omeri Levan Amarishim Kitzo Lomachai Velabesh Yachal Hazi Baruch Mitzuya Harbe. The Kar of Levadai Kain Chitza. You get the right. But so Gufa, what does Tosa say? A very big finish, but whether it makes sense to resolve the question, and that is a side argument or a parallel argument, you know, in or you know, a related argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is what's the Hagdara of Ruach Mitzuyah? If you have Eshem Shemchitzav, right? Again, you didn't have to say this, except you still need an answer to this problem, but it is mechudash a little bit. But Pashtus, you would have thought that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree about the details of what Eish is, or the level of Eish. You know, everybody agrees that it's Dafka Baruch Mitzuyah, they would agree what Mitzuyah is too. But Tosis is Mechadesh, that for Rabbi Yochanan, that's Mishum Chitzav, so as a victim of your higher standard is also the need for a higher threshold, so it has to be more Bori Azeka. Right? Whereas Eishem Mishum Amono, with the paradigm of Shor, you know, and Shmira, so you, you know, that you get away with a lesser, you know, you know, likelihood. Right? That's what Tosa says. So in a way, that's why I was saying, oh, when you said Rabbi Yochanan Lakish, you know, in a way, the way to read the Yerushalmi according to the Rajba might be very related to that question, except here, Rabbi Yochanan Lakish are against the Chachamim. Right? Namely, you know, what level of Ruach Mitzuyah, everybody agrees Ruach Sheinu Mitzuyah is Ruach Sheinu Mitzuyah, but Ruach Mitzuyah, let's say, you know, you need, you don't need gale, you know, level, but you need, I'm not into the whole weather scene, I really should really, you know, should catch up on all that. You know, but, you know, not typical winds, right, but, you know, heavier winds, more... Arctic winds, I don't know where they are. But whatever it is, you know, winds that are, you know, there are a gradation of winds. It's not just Ruach Sheinu Mitzuyah, Ruach Mitzuyah. Okay? You might explain, to be, again, to using Tosis's paradigm, to be considered a Maisa Hezek, you know, which is Mitzurav to your Pu'ula, you know, Adam Amazik. So, you know, you need a certain level of predictability. Right? But also maybe a certain impact. Certain level of force, right? Or at least a certain level of vadoz, baria zeka. And for ruach, for shmira, let's say, or not to qualify as adam amazik, but, you know, choser shmira, let's say, or tziruf to what your mamon did, so you require less. So Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, you know, and the chachamim in the Yerushalmi, here it isn't Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Again, we mentioned that the Gemara doesn't say l'may nafkamina, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. You know, they talk about tzavta d'cheresh, and they talk about, you know, chitzav shel kalev, and they talk about, you know, kam le'bidraba minei, or its equivalent. You know, and then they talk about tamun. You know, the Gemara could have, in theory, said, you know, that nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is the level of ruach, you know, the bari azeka level that you need. Or that would qualify. But they don't. Presumably the answer is, you know, that's, you know, that's not a nafkamina, that's part of the, just like we said, you know, earlier in the year about Malachshin Tzricha Lagufa, you know, you know, for Tolda, it's part of the Hagdara. You know, of course, if Eishu is Shemchitzov, so for Tosis, again, not everybody agrees with that Tosis. If Eishu is Shemchitzov, so you're going to have a certain level of Baria Zeka, and if not, not. Okay. Again, Tosis, the Chilik in Yerushalmi is not exactly the Bari Azeka, but it is, kind of, but the emphasis is in the opposite direction. It's, you know, how often does it come? Right. This kind of a win. Okay. So, here you have Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, fine. But according to the Balei Tosis, according to others, what does Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz say about this Yerushalmi? I told you like Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, right? Yeah. How does Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz read the... You have it? Yeah, go ahead. Or you can say it either way. Say that again?
Yeah.
I mean, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagree right? They hold that ruach mitzuya is not ruach mitzuya, like ruach shena mitzuya, cannot generate livui beish, correct? So, but now the language is so interesting because it, and then it goes back to my question: so what happened to halacha? If we're talking about a different level of ruach, okay, fine. That's an interesting topic, as we just discussed. But it's a side topic. Right? So how would you even read the words? You have the language of apparent system.
Yeah. Just how you're telling me.
Okay, so that's just basically what Tosfos Ben Parrot is saying, is that the 2 days in the Yerushalmi are the nidcha, you know, perush of Tosas, right? And Tosas, except for one thing, that this is what I'm adding to the mix, and that is the language of the Yerushalmi for Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. It's fascinating. Namely, I mean, that lefamim ba, lefamim eino ba, meaning, obviously that is not an impediment when it comes to holacha. And as if he just said, oh, you could have said just objectively, you know, the shemesh, you know, requires being mavir. You know, his own, that has to be his action. Okay, but that's not the words of the Yerushalmi. The words of the Yerushalmi is, so now we're saying it about, according to Tosfos Ben Parrot's reading, we're saying it about Ruach Metzuya. Pa'amim ba, pa'amim ba. I mean, if you wait long enough, it's going to come. Right? But it's still, you know, temperamental. Unpredictable. The unpredictability, or the, you know, the, you can't say when it's going to come. Pa'amim ba, pa'amim ba. Not that it'll never come. It's a Ruach Metzuya. It'll come. So the answer is very simple. If there was holacha al yedei Ruach Metzuya, right? So then it happened already. meaning that there's nothing predictive about that. That's reconstructive. In other words, we need to be predictive when it comes to creating a shame eish. Right? Even though you don't need to be predictive when it comes to being chayav mishum eish. In the end of the day, the guy's barn burnt down. Right, so you got to say, oh, the ruach mitzuya, you know, doesn't come, you know, in a predictable pattern. It doesn't come every 10 minutes. Who cares, right? But when it comes to livui ha'esh or tziras shemei, let me say it this way: if we were saying, when we take the view of Bali Tosis, right, which is it doesn't make a difference. Right, or the resha of the Yerushalmi. We're saying, you know, if it's a Ruach Metzuya, if the Ruach Metzuya has the ability to be Malav of the Yesh, so that's enough. Right? So, going back to what we were saying before, is that because, really, you do need Shem Esh, right? And you have to have, you know, a Hagdara of being Mavir. Let me go back, let's say this right. When Tosas and Tosra Ben Peretz and Tosas and Baba Basra, when the Rishonim want to explain this distinction between Holacha Sa'esh and Yetzira Sa'esh, right, they quote the Pasuk. No, they have to be a mavir. Right? So what I'm saying is, and the view that says that the Eish Ruach Mitzuya can accomplish that holds what? You know, that's not what the Pasuk means. We don't care whether you create the Shem Eish. We care whether or not your actions are sufficiently responsible for his barn being burnt down. So at the end of the day, when you left this Eish, it wasn't really an Eish, or at least it wasn't an Eish that was a Mazik. Fine. Right? But whatever it is that you did or didn't do is still equally exactly the same level of pragmatic responsibility for the Nezek. And that's what we care about. Or no. What we're really saying is, in Achanami, the Gzeres HaKasuv says that you have to be Mavereish. But in theory, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that when you walk away that there's a Chepza Shalesh. It means that whatever you do, you know, in combination with whatever else there is, right, constitutes the Hagdara of Mavir. So basically that might be what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are saying. They're saying we need that there should be Mavir, right? And to constitute Mavir, it's not enough that you know eventually that there'll be Eish. Because we're not saying, you know, that you don't need Holo. All you need is, you know, being connected to the burning down of the fire. Everybody agrees you need Mavir. But if it's Lefamim Ba, Lefamim Lo Ba, then the Gabe Yitziras Shemesh being Mavir, Ruach Mitzuya is just as bad as Ruach Shein Mitzuya. If you're talking about Mishum Chitzav or Mishum Amono, you know, then Ruach Mitzuya is fine. We don't care whether you can predict the patterns when it's going to happen. But if we're talking about taking your, you know, Hadlaka or Havara and calling it a Chepta Shalesh, or Chepta Shalesh that is a Mazik, calling you a Mavir, then knowing when it's going to happen, you know, which is unpredictable, is what's Koveya. So there's a difference between Halacha Sa'esh and Yetzira Sa'esh. All right? Good. What about, is it Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz? Who doesn't like Tosis's Dechia of, you have that? Of Cherish, of Shod of Akatan? Yeah, that's a quote. That's Tosis's reason why they reject this idea, not because they think that per se it doesn't make any sense. Okay, go ahead. Oh, so it's even better, right? Meaning, the way he understands the difference, I mentioned there were two ways before. One is the human element versus the natural element. I totally admit that that could go in either direction, right? The more obvious distinction, but also which one could dispute, is again the presence of the other force already at the time of the Havara. And that's the one that he likes. So according to him, Ruach Mitzuya, he doesn't say Ruach Shein Mitzuya, but probably Huah did Ruach Shein Mitzuya. But it's so fascinating that's when he also invokes the line of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So it's really actually very interesting, because at this point, you know, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagree, but, you know, again, if it was just, you know, the way that we were talking about in terms of the Rajba, you know, that's a whole different story. But, you know, for Tosfos Ben Peretz, Lefamim Ba Lefamim Lo Ba is exactly, you know, the issue. I mean, it's fine for Holacha, but it's not fine for Yetzira. For that very same reason, you know, maybe what you need, you know, is that it be present Bishas, the initial Havara. Okay. So that works in very well. I see it's late, so I'll stop. But Tosfos Bava Basra, are you saw Tosfos Bava Basra? Not yet? Okay, so make sure for Tuesday we want to go through that. So, yeah? Tzvi, you saw it? If no one saw it, I'm not going to speak. How many people saw Tosfos Bava Basra? On Chavav, you know. Okay. Tosfos Bava Basra, Nathan, you saw it? So we're not going to read it in, but just give us a quick, something noteworthy about it regarding this issue or not?
Whether it would go without the wind or not. Is your Maisa significant to the process?
Does Tosa and Balbasra hold like Tosas in Bava Kamma?
No.
Or like the Ra'ah and the others?
It's more similar to that.
Number one, he makes a distinction. Well, it's even more fascinating as a totally different twist on what Yetzirah Sa'esh kind of means or something. What's the case there?
You're hammering flax.
Yeah, you're beating the flax, I guess, and it generates like a dust cloud, right? Which has either annoying or damaging. That's the Gemara there. Right, and that Gemara has to be read in light of our Gemara on Samach Amud Aleph, but also in the Mishnah and the Testament Bay. So the Gemara is discussing whether or not, you know, that dust, which is now going to be carried, Ayidei Ruach, right, are you chayav for that or not? How does that fit in to Zorah, you know, on Shabbos, and to our case here? So we have to look very carefully at the Rishonim on that sugya, Tosfos, beginning with the Baalei Tosfos, obviously. Okay. So Tosa says, yeah.
So his answer is that Ish is only when the Adam creates the Ish by himself, and then afterwards the wind just helps move it. But when you need the wind as an essential part of the creation of it, so then you're not.
So that, which is like Tosa's here, is Doche, like what the other Rishonim accept. Except there's a wrinkle. That's what I wanted to bring to everybody's attention, and we'll speak more about it on Tuesday. The wrinkle is, the case is dust. Right? So the wind produced the dust? You could say the wind is malava, you know, you have a little teeny spark, but it's like a flame. That's one of the things I was kind of alluding to before. Like, what does Libui actually do? You know, what is its contribution? So, but it's easier to say that Livui creates a lahav, a flame. Until then, you have a spark, but you don't have a flame. If that's a correct wind expands dust.
It's not having creation; it's having movement.
Ah, exactly. So Tosas in Bava Basra, that's right in the Chodash, right, seems to apply the distinction between Livui and Holacha. Not in terms of, well, we'll see, in terms of Yetzira Samazik or Chafza Shomazik, you know, and then it's Holacha, the Derech HaHezek. But it sounds like, we'll have to see whether it's true or what others say, that part of the din of Livui, according to Tosfos Bava Basra, is Tchilas HaHolacha. Right, you have a line? We'll just leave one line. Then we'll pick this up on. And I want to look at the Ra'ah and the other. She can't look at Talmud or Beinu Talmud or Arash Bava Arash, because they also have a line on Kerish and Bekata. A few, the other one, Rabbi Yonasan, I think so. Tosa Shant. Yeah.
Go
Stop there. It sounds like what Tosis is docha here and what other Rishonim are embracing, which is the simple distinction between Yetzirah. Again, not simple legally, but you know, Yetzirah Sa'esh versus Halacha Sa'esh. Keep going. Oh, the raksa, which is the dirt, wasn't created by the wind. So he's applying what we're talking about in Eish as Yetziras Hamazik to Tchilas Holochas Hamazik. Right? Go ahead. Then he kind of knows that he's doing it, but without admitting it, so that he speaks very verbosely, right? So Tosis, because of that sugya, brings in a whole different aspect of what Leva might be. We'll see, maybe not, but Pashtas. And that is that in addition to the question, the subtle questions that we've just been discussing, which is there a need for direct Yetziras Ha'esh? And what constitutes Yetziras Ha'esh, right, in terms of various, you know, factors? There may be another element in Liva HaRuach, or the acquiring Libui, and that is Tchilas Holacha, or at least the capacity of Tchilas Holacha. Okay, so that's one thing, and we'll have to see the Rishon on that. So we'll stop here, we're going to finish with this, and the Gemara about Liva Malibsa, in other words, the Shunfas and the Grum, all the things that we have.